This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 72 for Monday, August 6, 2018.
We have an exciting episode for you this week. We're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. We have yet another new host of the Two Bobs.
A listener shared a story about the CDC not wanting us to reuse condoms. And this week, we've got, again, another shit ton of crazy news.
What's been going on?
A whole lot of shit. I'm ready for the weekend. We got another week. We'll record next week, so episode 73, and then for the 13th, I guess that'll be, and then we'll skip a week so you can enjoy yourself away, and we'll be back the following week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll post some stuff on Instagram so you can see my shenanigans that I'm getting into. I'll probably post some beers on Untappd, best I can anyways, because the beer in South Carolina is terrible, but or at least we're in Myrtle Beach anyways. I've never found really a whole lot to choose from, but you know,
as long as your T-Mobile works down there, you'll be posting.
I'll find out. Find out soon enough, Robert. I mean, it's so far so good.
Well, speaking of beers, we got a lot to get into, so I think rather than beat around the bush, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
We got a lot of crazy news. I'm excited about this lineup. I was excited about last week and then the week before, but I don't know, something seems special about this one.
It's a special IPA day.
It is IPA.
As you know, I've been trying to broaden my beer horizons and develop more of an eclectic palate for beer, especially because IPAs are, I mean, let's face it, there's more IPAs than anything else out there when it comes to craft beer. There's just like a shit ton of IPAs. So I'm like, all right, I should probably like start liking IPAs more because I'm running out of dark beers to drink. So anyway, this week, and let me pull it up here. It'd be nice if I would actually pull this up ahead of time. Sorry, I'm new. First time.
First time caller.
Long time listener, first time caller. You know, it's been, well, I got to put January 8th. I got to put my date of birth
into
the website.
So I hate that. Some of them ask you now, they say, are you 21 or older? And you say, yes.
So what's weird is I when I went to the website on my phone earlier, I just said, are you 21? Yes. Done. When you go to the actual full website, it wants your full date of birth. It didn't ask for my social security number or my debit card number and PIN or anything like that. So I'm okay, I suppose, with giving it my... Although a lot of times I just lie. January 1st, 1900 was when I was born. And here I am drinking beer on the Two Bobs on my podcast. So anyway, this week I'm taking a little bit of a page out of the Robert Kilimowski handbook with my beer. I know a popular brewery on the show, and it's always been on your end. I think I've had one or two things maybe, but is Ballast Point. And I know you've had, and actually let me go to the website here so I can
I got it
you.
Up. Yeah, I've been thinking ahead.
Listen, don't steal my show. This is my face. This is no. Listen, this is my opportunity to talk, and you shut the fuck up. This is my damn it, Robert. God, let's see.
Shut the fuck up, Robert.
So, anyways, we've had Ballast Point. You had one, the Grapefruit Sculpin, and episode 11, Stupid Eli Face.
Oh, that's familiar.
Episode 38, Shitload of Fajitas. You had a Pumpkin Down Scottish Ale from Ballast Point. Let's see. Episode 40, you had a Big Eye IPA from Ballast Point. Episode 40, just in case you were wondering, is this classic Van Aert. Let's see here. We have episode Best of TTB Volume 4. I had a Victory at Sea by Ballast Point. Yeah. That's right. That was good, too.
Yeah,
I was a fan. Episode 58, which was the lost episode because I didn't pay my internet bill. I had a sour wench from Ballast Point, which was really sour. Episode 61, you had a coconut victory at sea, and episode 61 was Big Bulbous Butt, if you remember that one. Episode 63, Shut the Fuck Up, Alexa.
You had Shut the Fuck Up, Robert.
You had a peanut butter victory at sea.
Yeah,
which I was also quite jealous of because it looked pretty damn good. And then this week, episode 72, God knows what it ends up being called. I have a pineapple sculpin, which is an IPA with natural pineapple flavor. It says a tropical take on a tried and true favorite. Our pineapple sculpin IPA came from one of many small batch cask experiments to enhance the flavor of our signature IPA. With so many tropical hop notes in sculpin, how can we not try adding some sweet, juicy pineapple? The combination of fruity flavors and hop intensity definitely packs a punch. It's 7% alcohol by volume. The bitterness factor is 70 IBUs, which is high for me, but yeah. Not high for an IPA. Comes in 12-ounce cans. 12-ounce bottles, which is what I'm drinking it out of today. You can also get a draft. It's available year-round. It's won awards and shit, according to the website. One thing that I noticed, even before I tasted it, was when I opened the bottle, I got a nice whiff of pineapple. So I'm excited to taste that pineapple, and I'm really just hoping it comes through in the taste of the beer as well. And I'm about to find out.
Well, summertime, that's when I tend to like a lot of the beers that have a bit more fruit in them. You know, with the heat out there, something like that just feels good. Whereas winter really feels like you want the heavier, darker beers.
Damn, I just spilled beer on my fucking shorts. Hold on, I just got to clean up a mess. Luckily, I have a roll of paper towels here.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, you're telling me. And so while I'm doing this, let me talk about the beer.
How does it feel on your shorts, first of all?
So it definitely, I get the bitterness from it. Not so much from my shorts, the bitterness. Oh, more from the beer, though. We're not talking about my shorts anymore. Okay. No, but so I do get the bitterness out of it a little bit, which is to be expected from an IPA. I do taste a little bit of the pineapple. I guess I kind of wish that I tasted more of the pineapple. Mm. I don't need it overbearing. I don't want it to taste like I'm drinking pineapple juice, but I want that kind of pineapple presence to be the first thing that hits my palate when I'm drinking it. And I don't get that. I get more of it a little bit after I drink it. So that's a little bit disappointing, to be honest with you. But that being said, it's a nice solid IPA. If it were just an IPA and it wasn't promising loads of pineapple flavor, I'd say it's a good IPA. I do wish there was a little bit more pineapple. I did rate it a 3.75 because on Untappd, because I feel again that it's a nice solid IPA. I do like Ballast Point, and it's not so high on the hop scale that it really turns me off to it. Mm-hmm. It's a nice summertime beer with a little bit of pineapple, although I wish there was more. But definitely recommend it if you're looking for a good IPA and it's on the menu. Go ahead and buy it; you won't be disappointed.
Well, I think I'll like to try that one. I don't know that I've had the pineapple, but like you said, I've had a bunch of the other ones. So
yeah, and I could. Even now, when I put my nose up to my glass, if you will, I'm struggling with words. English is hard. I really do smell that pineapple. I just wish I tasted more of it. That's all right though. It's still good. Sorry. Well, what were you saying?
I've had beers like that too, where it says it's got the. I think there was one a couple of weeks ago where it had vanilla, and I didn't really taste the vanilla in it. And I tasted everything else, the coffee and the caramel, but there was no vanilla in it. And I felt myself let down by that. So that seems like it's along the same way. But, I mean, the Ballast Point beers really haven't disappointed me ever. And if I get through this first one here that I have, I actually have a Ballast Point Big Eye, which I did have on the show. So that'll be my second one if I need it. But I'll try that one. I'll look for it and see. I'm pretty sure I can get it. So I'll try it and see how my feeling about it compares to yours.
There's that too.
Absolutely.
I've got something fruity
as well. And yes. This is a brewery
I haven't had
on the episodes before, and it's Heavy Seas, and it is a Heavy Seas Tropicannon Citrus IPA. And it says on the can here, 12 fluid ounce ale with blood orange, grapefruit zest, and other natural flavors. And I do, pretty like you said about yours with the pineapple, I smell the orange right away. But the website says our brand new citrus IPA is exploding with bright citrus aroma and flavor, creating an exciting new variation in our flagship Loose Cannon. Tropicannon clocks in at the same 7.25 alcohol by volume as its cousin, but packs a full blast of blood orange, grapefruit, mango, and lemon flavor. We've downplayed some of Loose Cannon's pininess and amped up the citrus by swapping Centennial and Palisade hops for Amarillo and even more Simcoe.
Ooh, Simcoe. Amarillo.
We've introduced dried grapefruit, orange, and lemon peel in the brewing process and added mango, blood orange, and more grapefruit post-fermentation. So, like it said, 7.25% alcohol by volume, 45 IBUs. So it doesn't have quite the bitterness as yours. And I will give it a shot and let you know what I think.
That better be grapefruit as fuck.
I smell more of the orange, but I taste more of the grapefruit, which I like, but it's not overpowering. Like there's some IPAs that I have that are very strong and there's a, like a punch. It's like a real grape. This is almost like a pink grapefruit, which has a bit more of the sweetness to it. And maybe the orange and mango and all that kind of help tame it down some. So this is probably something, it's got the hops, you know, the IPA taste to it. But I think this one, for somebody who's not really an IPA fan, could probably do this one, since it is a bit lighter on the IBUs. It's at 45. So I like it a lot. I taste a lot of the grapefruit. I do taste the orange. Don't really get a whole lot of the mango and lemon just yet, but the orange and the grapefruit are definitely in there in full force. And as I get through the rest of it, I'll see if I can taste any of the others.
I feel like this would be a good IPA for beginners. Like I feel like this is probably one that I could drink as just kind of like as I'm trying to transition from darker, stoutier beers,
yeah,
to IPAs. I think
it's
like
got
crossover
the fruit.
You get the fruit, but you don't get the high IBUs. Did you say what you rated this on Untappd? I don't remember.
I didn't, but it's funny that you mentioned yours.
You should say it.
3.75, and I did rate mine at 3.75 as well.
Look at you.
It might be close to a 4, but I think the ones that I've had recently that I actually hit the 4. This one's probably close, but I think it stays more in the 3.75 for me. I do like it a lot, and I would not hesitate to buy it again.
See, this is why. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just don't think it hits the specialness that needs to make a 4.
See, this is why they need to let us round to the nearest 8th, even the nearest 16th, like a 3 15/16.
Yeah. The 3.75 doesn't seem like it's enough, but 4 seems like it's a little bit too much.
I know. God. I really needed that. Fucking asshole. Jeez.
So I sent you a little care package this week.
You sure did.
And I surprised you with it, and I almost didn't do it, but then as I thought more about it, I realized that I had so much fun with it. So you got a mystery box.
So we do send ourselves, each other, presents every once in a while. Like I know I sent you a Golden Girls t-shirt once. Uh-huh. And
Founder's keychain that I use.
Oh yeah, the Founder's keychain.
Yeah.
That's my jam. It's so well, I told you the story. We were at a work event, and one of my colleagues was sitting there busting the shit out of bottles on a light post trying to open it up. And then it was at the very end. I pulled out my keys. I'm like, I had a bottle opener the whole time. But anyway, so just to kind of, you know, bring everybody into the mindset of how this went down. Harrison says, "Daddy, there's a package at the door. There's an Amazon package, and you can always tell when it's an Amazon package. Yeah. It has the usual Amazon Prime tape around that's sealing the box shut." And I'm thinking, I'm like, that's really weird, because I'm usually on top of that shit, because I get the notifications and stuff that there's a package that's out for delivery, or it'll let me know when it's 8 houses away and let me pull up where the driver is, which is really kind of freaky, and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I had already gotten an Amazon delivery that day. So I'm like, it's really weird that they're like, usually they're better logistically than that to have two different packages with two different carriers. But anyway, so I look, and sure enough, on the front patio or front porch, there's a package. And I'm immediately concerned because it's addressed to Rob Phillips,
right?
Which, I mean, I do go by Rob, so it's not unheard of, but Amazon always sends stuff to me as Robert Phillips. So I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on here? And I'm a little bit nervous too, because I'm like this package that I didn't order showing up at the desk or on the front porch under Rob Phillips. So I bring it in and I'm not gonna lie, I like shake it. Like, is there like I'm listening, is there like a ticking noise? Because I don't know, do they still hook up wind up alarm clocks to Bob's? I don't know, but. Anyway, I'm shaking it, and I'm like, there's something in there, but it doesn't seem heavy. You know, then again, I'm thinking, like, God, anthrax isn't that heavy either, though. I don't think. It's like a powder. I'm like, all right. So I grab my box cutter. I very carefully, the kids stand back.
I put on my lead suit.
I very carefully open the pack. And maybe this is just like the conspiracy theorist kind of paranoid person in me. But anyway, so I carefully open the package. And here is this pink. And if you listen to last week's episode, if you listen to episode 71, you know all about George. Well, I have a pink rubber chicken in this box. And I immediately knew who it was from, and it was from Bob K here. So if you're so this is, and I didn't name him. Well, I didn't name him, but I asked Harrison what his name should be.
Here we go.
What's his name?
Mr. Cocky Nuts.
Mr. Cocky Nuts. Mm-hmm.
It's called Squeeze Me.
It's called Squeeze Me.
It's called Squeeze Me. It's called Squeeze Me.
So, Mr. Kafkinoff.
So Harrison.
Mr. Kafkinoff.
And by the way, this is with no coaching whatsoever. I literally just asked him moments after we opened the box, what the chicken's name is, and he, without hesitation, said his name is Mr. Kafkinoff. So this is
Mr. Kafkinoff.
This is Mr. Kafkinoff. How you doing today, Mr. Kafkinoff? Say hi to everybody. Say hi to George.
It's the most god-awful sound. And I didn't know you were going to be off. And I figured it'd be one of those things where you'd be at work and Kelly would get it and you'd tell her to open it, or maybe she would just open it. she would just open it. He's the funniest thing. And then I just imagined her being angry because the boys would be home and they'd find it. And next thing you know, they'd be running around the house, squawking George all over the place. And I don't know. So I guess it was a little bit, I don't know. I'm glad that the kids enjoyed it. I thought it would be destroyed by now. But as you said, you packed it away nicely so he wouldn't.
Well, I had it sitting on my dresser. And, you know, I have the man dresser, so it's tall. It's like a hut, right? So I have it on top of my man dresser, although he stands up quite well.
Yeah,
he's tall. And I had him sitting on there, and then at one point Kelly looked over, and Mr. Kafkinoff was just standing on top of my dresser staring at her, and she kind of freaked her out. I think she was in dressing or something like that, and she's like, yeah, that thing's got to lay down. It can't just stare at me. It's freaking me out.
Yeah. So. Well, he's cross-eyed. You're not sure where he's looking.
That is true. You never know. And he's friendly. He's a very nice chicken. Well behaved. Doesn't make a mess. It's great. So there's Mr. Cocky Nuts.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cocky Nuts, did you see this thing on BuzzFeed News?
I did. We got it actually sent in to us from a listener on Twitter, made sure that we knew about it. She said it's not quite crazy news, but it's actually pretty crazy if you think about it.
It is pretty crazy. And it was a learning experience for me.
You didn't know?
I didn't know.
Well, the CDC has actually sent out a notice because evidently enough people have done it. But CDC STD on Twitter, we say it because people do it. Don't wash or reuse condoms. Use a fresh one each time.
What if you wash it in the dishwasher, though? Isn't that why they have those little spikes that stick up for the condoms? No.
Well, my response was, that, like, isn't it like underwear where if you run out of underwear, you can just turn it inside out and reuse it? But I guess they frown upon that.
Well, I feel that like way, if you turn it inside out, it kind of defeats the purpose of having the condom, right?
If you turn it inside out, then it's ribbed for my pleasure.
Yeah, but it's... Never mind.
It's it still used works. For her, it's like
it's
a
used
sock.
For her pregnancy at that point, though.
Well, that's true. Well, then you wash it
you're
off.
Leashing, you're unleashing all the stuff you were trying to keep out of her vagina. And anyway, so
if people don't understand it, but some of the responses were pretty neat. Hold on, babe. Let me grab one off the clothesline. What the hell am I supposed to do with these condoms in the dishwasher now?
there's a picture of somebody that has it's on a clothesline, and it's on a clothes. It's like it's hooked to it with a clothespin. So seriously, condoms are meant to be used once. Washing or reusing a condom will diminish its effectiveness.
Yep. Incorrect use, such as reusing a condom or using more than one at a time, diminishes the protective effort by leading to breakage, slippage, or leakage. So I don't know. I guess this is one of those things where they, like I said earlier, they felt enough people were doing it that they actually had to put out a warning and remind everybody.
Not to mention, other than the fact that it's just disgusting to reuse a condom, I mean, how do you, like, the whole ease of putting it on is destroyed once it's unrolled, right? Because you know how it works. You stick it on the tip, and it rolls down to
fruition.
Yeah, I mean, so, but if you gotta like put, if you have to, I don't know, I just don't understand. It's like putting on a rubber glove at that point on your dick, though. Like at that, like I feel like I'd accidentally snap it, and that would just ruin my whole experience at that point.
It's not like a sock or a shirt or something that you can just easily do, you know. So it takes a lot of work to reuse it, and I can't imagine that there's anybody out there that needs that many of them that they can't afford just to get another one. But maybe there are. Obviously,
that's fucked up, though, Robert. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I always do is just let it outside and let the squirrels eat. Well, I just couldn't even finish that sentence.
Well,
worst segue ever
in the show notes. But Huffington Post had a video, and it was earlier. It was last month. Earlier in July, but
wasn't that long ago.
Said the video of a squirrel eating out of a condom sums up 2018. It says, took the kids out for a beach day, parked and saw this, really hoped one day when they're older and wiser, their parents would tell them actually what it was they were witnessing there. And it's a squirrel standing on top of a wooden fence. And I guess somebody had used their condom, seen the CDC warning, flipped it over the edge of the fence. Well, the squirrel ended up finding it, hop up on top of the fence, then just reaching down and reaching down in there,
it out.
Like he's eating out of a bag of chips, just pulling it up and
boy,
just going to town on his fingers. Oh man, it was so gross.
He chuckled about it, but we didn't say anything in front of the kids, Cole said with a laugh. Just let them assume it was a balloon. That's a good idea.
It's the grossest.
Oh my god, and that's one of the many things that are terrible about squirrels.
Oh man, we'll put that in the show notes, and I'll see if I can use the screenshot maybe of the image in the show notes just for giggles, you know.
Yeah, I mean, do yourself a favor and don't watch the video though.
People would appreciate it.
Or do it, you sick fuckers.
No, it's worth it. Well,
no,
it's worth it very briefly. You have to kind of get through it quick and then move on. Mr. Cocky Nuts would approve.
God, I wish that was enough talk about penises. How about some crazy news? You can never have too much talk about penises.
Well, actually, I didn't mean it to work out that way, but the first couple here actually do continue to involve that.
This is a very phallic episode.
It's not on purpose, but I'm going to finish the rest of my Tropicana and Citrus IPA and then switch over to the Ballast Point Big Eye.
Big Eye, which is also kind of phallic.
That's
the Ballast Point Old One Eye. This humdinger takes us to Nashville, Tennessee, I'm assuming. It's not Nashville, Virginia, although it sounds like it could be. Where a man was found naked in a McDonald's restroom The woman's room, restroom at a McDonald's doing jumping jacks. Why not? A Nashville man was arrested after he was found naked inside a McDonald's restroom and then a day later sniffing paint fumes at a hardware store. Brody Tyler Young is...
He's a good old boy.
I hate when they do that. He's hyphenated, so I know it's the same fucking name. Brody Tyler Young is charged with possession of vapors, trespassing, and public indecency. Officers responded to a McDonald's restaurant on July 23rd, where they found a naked man locked inside a stall in the women's restroom, according to an incident report. Young had reportedly been there all day. The officers said Young smelled of fumes.
Mr. Young was erratic and doing jumping jacks and hitting the wall, the officer wrote. Young had been told to stay away from the business. Officers found Young again the following day behind the counter of a customer service desk of a Lowe's. He had gone to the paint section and was spraying paint into a Gatorade bottle and huffing it, according to the affidavit. Both Young and the Gatorade bottle smelled of spray paint, an officer said.
Well, at least he was in a stall. I mean, it was the woman's room, and he was naked, and he was doing jumping jacks. I mean, at least he was in a stall.
So I guess he was trying to protect people from naked, witnessing what they were going to witness.
Naked jumping jacks sounds very uncomfortable, though.
It's not good for anybody.
There's just too much flying around. I at least need, like, some sort of, you know, undergarment to... You know, keep everything in place. You know, you don't want
that shit
flapping around as you're,
hitting your chin,
hitting my chin, bouncing off the floor, you know,
tripping customers in line.
Oh boy.
Well, this one I got out of the BBC.
Really? More penis stuff?
Well, yeah, it comes from the BBC and it says man puts out.
They love penises in Europe.
I wonder what they call have
beaches. You can just whip your dick out on the beach and like use it as stick it in the sand, and people are okay with it there.
It's hot though. Man puts out South End pier fire by peeing on it. Thomas Watson noticed a small fire on the deserted South End pier and took matters into his own hands by relieving himself over the flames. The council thanked him for his quick thinking, tinkling, but said it was confident its own sprinkler system would have worked, as the Sun reported.
What fun is that?
Essex Fire Service confirmed it was called, but no action was required.
Mr. Watson, 22, from Houghton Regis in Bedfordshire, was visiting the 1.3-mile pier with his partner and daughter on Friday at about 19:30 BST, which is 7:30. 7:30 British Standard Time, when he was noticed smoke and small flames on the wooden planks. The weather had turned, and we were literally the last people there, he told the BBC. Mr. Watton said the fire was only small on top, but a lot of smoke was coming from underneath, and he thought it was all burning under there.
I looked at it, and the wood was proper charring away, like white with an orange glow. Using my initiative, I decided to empty my bladder. Although his partner had called the fire service, Mr. Watson had tackled it by the time crews arrived. A South End Borough Council spokesman said, "Whilst we have faith our sprinkler system would have sprung into action, we understand the visitor deployed his own sprinkler system to swiftly extinguish the miniature inferno." He said the family could come back and visit the pier for free, but added, "We kindly asked that he keeps his trousers firmly secured on this occasion."
That's funny. Can you imagine the fire department or whatever they call it, the fire council, fire people over there? The fire, what is it? What is it called? Let's see here. Time crews, fire people. They're called the fire fuckers. I don't know. Yeah. But so can you imagine
they show call it football?
They show up and he's like, "All right, nothing to see here, guys. All been put out." His dick's just hanging out. He's like, "Let me do some jumping jacks." He's jumping, jacking, jumping and jacking. I made it funny. I didn't even mean to.
That was a good one.
Oh, boy. Let's see here. What else we got? We got another story here. Yeah. I don't know if there's any penises involved. I hate to disappoint. Mr. Cocky Nuts. Let's see here. It's Costco. And
yeah, everybody loves Greenville. Costco.
Oh, it takes us to Greenville, South Carolina, which I'm going to be in South Carolina in 9 days, as the kids kept telling us today. The samples at Costco were free. Two men in their 70s got into a fight over them, South Carolina police say. A cut in line for free samples at a Costco turned into a fight between two 70-year-old men, according to police. A 70-year-old man said he was waiting in line for a complimentary piece of cheese at the Costco. Cheese. At the Costco in Greenville, South Carolina, when a 72-year-old man cut in line, took some cheese, and walked off, according to a July 26th incident report. After the 70-year-old moved to a line... that's not what that says. After the 70-year-old moved on to a line with free samples of cheeseburgers, police said the man saw the 72-year-old approaching. The 70-year-old was upset about being cut in front of, and according to the incident report, he told the other man that he could get in front of him because he knew he would just cut the line anyway.
The 72-year-old man responded by saying, "I'll do it again," and saying to the 70-year-old man, "You're a jerk," police reported. The 72-year-old then hit the 70-year-old in the right side of his head and caused his hat and glasses to come off, according to the report. The woman who was working at the cheeseburger sample said,
"And I'm a pretty hip young mom, okay?"
She saw two men argue in front of her station.
Argue? I remember puberty.
What, honey?
And she confirmed the 72-year-old's or the 70-year-old's account. See, they got to give them like names like Bob and Jerry. She confirmed the 70-year-old's account when she told police that a man in a Hawaiian shirt hit the other man in the head, and it sounded very loud. That the man's hat flew off his head.
Oh boy!
Though the 72-year-old had left the Costco by the time police arrived, they tracked him down riding on his little scooter. When an officer reached him on the phone, the 72-year-old admitted he was involved in the altercation at the Costco.
I mean, how do you... Police reported that the 72-year-old said he hit the man's hat off his head after the man got in his face, and he felt that the man was going to hit him because the man was balling his fist. I hit that fucker's hat off his head after the... After he got in my face, he
was
balling his fist, so I hit his fucking hat off and I ate my cheeseburger. Greenville Police Department Public Affairs Manager Donald Porter told the state that no arrests have been made in the incident. Police are attempting to get surveillance footage from Costco to help within the investigation. But the responding officer said further investigation was needed because the men's stories are inconsistent. They probably just forgot what happened, and witnesses did not have much to say in fear of getting their hat and their glasses knocked off of their heads, per the incident report.
And that's like crazy old man strength. I don't know whether there's just like pent up anger in there, and you would think that at that age that they would just be willing to wait like two more seconds to get whatever. It's not like there's a huge line, right? The Costco, there's usually a couple people around, but.
And not to mention, I would just say, he's a 70, there's 70-something-year-old man. Just let him fight it. You know, let him fight. It's fine. It's funny, actually.
Costco Fight Club.
Yeah. And then, move on. Okay. The old man, you don't need to investigate. There doesn't need to be an incident report. It's two crazy old fuckers got into a fight at a Costco over cheese and cheeseburgers.
A little tiny.
Not even a whole thing. It's like a little chunk of cheeseburger. It's not like,
and a centimeter square of cheddar cheese.
Oh boy.
I don't know. But that's also, if you think about it, it's like going back to the days when I think there was just more, although not that there isn't today, but you watch the old movies and they're, putting up their dukes and ready to box everything out. Maybe that's still just part of that generation where if you felt like that somebody was disrespecting you, you just clocked them and didn't think anything of it. And
I guess so.
I don't know that we've quite veered that much off that today.
I'm just glad we had a story that didn't involve penises, especially shriveled old 70-something-year-old penises.
Well, the next one is about burgers.
Well, it, you know, I'm glad that we've decided to move on to something. You know, let's focus on something other than penises. Let's focus on hamburgers for a little bit. I like it. I like where we're headed with this episode now.
Yeah.
TTB 70072, penises and hamburgers. That's well, basically that sums up our episode so far.
Well, Mr. Cocky Nuts does nothing to help that out.
No, Mr. Cocky Nuts. This is the perfect episode to introduce Mr. Cocky Nuts to the two Bobs. Isn't that right, Mr. Cocky Nuts?
Mr. Cocky Nuts.
Well, this one takes us west.
I'm where so you glad just you have that drop now.
Of where you were in South Carolina. It takes us over to Austin, Texas. We're in Austin. And if you remember last week, we had a very it's kind of similar where we had the man with no arms who decided to stab a person asking for directions. But this the mugshot of this guy looks very similar, but he's just a little bit darker complexion. It says an Austin man was arrested after unsuccessfully attempting to rob a Whataburger with a pair of tongs, according to officers. After reviewing surveillance footage, officers say 44-year-old David Garcia Gonzalez.
44-year-old?
44-year-old.
44-year-old.
David Garcia Gonzalez, and they did hyphenate that, so I know it was three names, who had difficulty maintaining balance while walking, approached a Whataburger at 2305 Burleson Road. After loitering in the business for a while, he grabbed a pair of metal tongs and walked up to an employee who had opened the register.
The suspect approached her from behind and started jabbing her with the tongs.
Yeah, he did.
While repeatedly demanding money. Garcia
tongs.
Garcia Gonzalez was eventually confronted by another employee who ordered him to leave the restaurant. The suspect fled the scene, but was later detained by officers at a car wash just east of the Whataburger. Garcia Gonzalez now faces charges for robbery by threat, a second-degree felony. He's probably thinking at this point, well, fuck, I should have stabbed him.
Well, two things. Did he still have the tongs? And two, he was at the car wash, but was he actually in a car?
And three, did he actually get a burger?
I don't know. It seems like he just wanted to, I don't know.
Well,
he wanted money, but what was he going to do for that money? Just turn around and hand it back to him for some food? He was drunk.
He gets the money. He's like, all right, can I get a number three?
That's right. And make it quick. I got to get out of here.
Mr. Garcia Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Crazy fucker.
He's crazy. Pair of tongs, but he had arms, so.
Brr.
You gotta go paint something. This one's yours.
Why is it mine?
Well, you'll see.
Oh boy. Okay. Three injured after rollover on Ashley Street in Granby Street. Ashley Street in Granby, caused by a spider. Oh, great. Granby, Massachusetts. Three people were taken to the hospital Monday night after a single car rollover accident caused by a spider. Granby Police Sergeant Gary Poehler told 22 News a woman panicked when she saw a spider, causing her to lose control of her car and roll over. First off, I will tell you that I have flipped the fuck out before because spiders and other insects crawling on or in or around my car. Yesterday, I'm stopped and like a big fucking bee flew by and my windows were open. And so I thought it was in the car, but it was turned out to be outside the windshield. So we were good. But I mean, seriously, if my car had been moving, I would have flipped the fuck out. I wouldn't be here right now recording this because I'd be hauled into a tree. They'd be jaws of lifing me still out of the fucking tree that I would have hit. Poehler said the three people in the car had minor injuries and the accident looked worse than it was. According to the Granby Fire Department, firefighters were called to Morgan Street at around 10 p.m. on Monday and asked to bring a can of Raid. Ambulances from Granby, didn't say that part, South Hadley Fire District 1 and the South Hadley Fire District 2 I don't know if you've ever been to South Hadley, but they have two fire districts at least.
Right. Fire all district helped, one and fire district two.
Yeah. All help to take those injured. All help to take those injured. Those injured people. Those injured to the hospital. Oh, boy.
When Fire District 1 and Fire District 2 got there, they found that the spider hadn't been detained because a guy had whipped his penis out and was peeing on him.
The guy had to be detained because he had whipped it out and was trying to sexually assault the spider.
By doing jumping jacks.
That's what they don't tell you. If this were World News Daily Report, one of the passengers would have been arrested for trying to sexually assault the spider with his penis.
Rightfully so.
Just... Right? No. What?
No, not rightfully so that he did it. Rightfully so.
Sorry.
Rightfully totally... so that he was being detained or arrested, whatever you said.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. He was trying to assault a spider with his penis. I didn't know you thought that way about spiders, Robert. I'm still learning. Episode 72, right? 73? 72? I'm still learning things about you. Oh, boy. Speaking of World News Daily Report.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about this next one here.
Save the best for last. And this one does come from World News Daily Report. And it's from
Space Tattoos.
It's from New Orleans.
He's got a tattoo on his neck that says vegan.
Vegan lion tamer arrested for feeding his animals only carrots. Associated with the New Orleans Grand Circus was arrested this morning on charges of animal cruelty for feeding the animal under his care exclusively a vegan carrot-based mixture. An investigation was opened by the FBI last month with 42-year-old Daryl Johnson posted videos online where he presented his unique vegan lion feed recipe. One of the videos, he bragged that he had been feeding the circus lions with his mixture for more than 6 months. They were now leaner and healthier than ever. Investigators were finally able to identify and locate Mr. Johnson.
I hope our listeners think this is as funny as we do. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Who were you? Actually touring in Ohio with the circus, and veterinarians were dispatched to examine the animals under his care. Animals.
They were in a tournament. Dr. Frederick Munster.
Oh, of course.
Who examined the five lions, says the animals suffer from extremely severe malnutrition and are badly underweight. The animals all weigh between 100 and 150 pounds, less than they should, and are totally lethargic. It's a miracle that all five of them are still alive. The felines were transported to Cincinnati Zoo, where they would be taken care of until their condition approves. Mr. Johnson faces a total of 43 criminal charges, including 5 charges of animal cruelty and 17 charges of... Fuck, I accidentally scrolled. Hold on. Goddamn, Mr. Cocky Nuts hit the space bar.
Mr. Cocky Nuts.
17 charges of animal neglect. He was released on bail only hours after his arrest and immediately met reporters to denounce his arrest. He claims he's the victim of a political conspiracy orchestrated by the meat lobby and that his lions are perfectly healthy.
You are fake news.
Oh, shit. Fuck you, Trump. And he intends to demonstrate during his trial that a vegan diet is perfectly healthy, even for carnivores. The first hearing for the case is scheduled for September 6th. September 6th. Write it down in your agendas, people. And is expected to draw a lot of attention.
Give me a compliment.
What draws the most attention to me is just the picture of this guy with the face tattoo, and he has vegan tattooed across his neck.
In giant letters, too. He's pretty creepy.
He's vegan as fuck.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for the lion that's there, although I have no way of knowing that it's actually a real lion. But, yeah, he fed it carrots and decided that was the way to go. He was vegan and had assumed that his lifestyle was correct for the lions, although looking at him, he's not sure he's quite that vegan. He's got a little bit more fat on his neck than he probably should.
Probably. Well, you know, he's only been vegan for like probably a week or two. Except for that one time he had pepperoni on his pizza.
Did he have a pineapple sculpin with his pizza?
He did. I finished mine, by the way, and I moved on to a morning nightcap from Arcadia Ales, which I drank last week. Or was it last week? I guess it was last week.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But anyway, so this is great stuff, as always, from World News Daily Report. And, you know, as always, you can go to their website. There's a lot of other great headlines, such as the reality show contestants that were rescued after 5 years on a deserted island. Apparently, the network forgot they were there.
Woman chokes to death after fiancé hides a ring in a cake to propose.
Oh, boy. How about the woman who beats her Tinder date with a 16-inch dildo for refusing to perform oral sex on her? Let me try that again. How about the woman who beats her Tinder date with a 16-inch dildo for refusing to perform oral sex on her?
The mugshot looks like one of the Wayans brothers.
Apparently it's a woman. Hopefully that's not the picture from her Tinder profile. Who'd swipe right on that shit?
Boston. Whichever way was no, that's where it's going.
Boston pastor accused of coating hosts with cocaine and crystal meth before service.
That seems legit.
Seems like attendance would have been through the roof.
Thank the Lord.
I'm feeling high on Jesus today.
Oh, man. Was that 72? Oh, yeah. You go ahead and drink that here.
I mean, I'm drinking my beer. I'm trying to... not for all of them.
Now, did Mr. Cocky Nuts have anything to drink tonight? Did you offer him anything?
He's abstaining currently.
I guess you could fill him up. I mean, he would fill. Now, have the boys asked to see him again? Have they forgotten all about him, or did you just tell him that he was off limits?
Well, he just came down here with me to record the podcast, so
right.
He hasn't been off limits. He's been on my dresser.
For three days now.
Yeah, I mean, we've been enjoying him on a daily basis. So there's really nothing. Now he's going to be down here for the time being. We'll see. You know, I haven't quite decided what Mr. Cocky Nut's final home is going to be yet. Whether it'll be down here in the studio, maybe he can hang out on the shelf behind me with the beers.
You build a little cage for him.
I should put him in shackles like the guy that stabbed the armless man who stabbed the millennial in Florida from last week's episode.
Now, Mr. Cocky Nuts go to the beach with you.
He doesn't see because he doesn't have arms. He has like little chicken wings, but Mr. Cocky Nuts probably not. I hear chickens don't like chlorinated swimming pools. So
can you take him on the plane?
Although I think they use salt water. In the swimming pools, but can you imagine being on a plane and we're flying Spirit too, so we're already packed in like fucking sardines. All of a sudden I just bust this out. I'm like right in the middle of the safety announcements at the beginning. To fasten your safety belts, plug the big end and the little end, and then just, you know, you yank on it. And, you know, in case you don't know how to use a fucking seatbelt, this is how you use a seatbelt. By the way, the seat cushions do turn into a flotation device. And sometimes, though, they don't. Sometimes they're like located under the seat. All I got to say is, and I've always worried about this a little bit. What if the plane's fucking going down right at that moment? I don't want to then say, no. God, I need to figure out how to turn this fucking thing into a flotation device, huh? Like, if we're going... Like, I feel like they should, that part, I feel like they should concentrate more on how do I turn my fucking seat bottom into a flotation device versus this is how you fasten a safety belt. In the event of a change in cabin pressure, mask will fly down from the ceiling. Make sure that you put the strap around your head. That's not used to strangle yourself.
You do yours first.
Yeah, do your, but again, I don't care so much about that. I care the plane is floating on water and I have to use my seat. I'd be trying to just rip the seat off of the foundation on the plane.
You'd be kicking it.
Yeah, like what do I is it voice activated? Hey seat, turn into flotation device. See, that's I've never quite figured out how to turn the seat bottom into a flotation device. That's why I'm just not going to fly above water if I have a choice.
No.
The only problem is in Myrtle Beach, the flight paths all go over water. So,
well, yeah, but at that point they go over the sharks. So if you go down, you're chum.
Well, I need to be able to use my seat to turn. I'm going to use the strap from the mast that has fallen down from the ceiling to strangle the shark at that point.
Well, Harrison will know what to do after watching all that Shark Week.
Do you remember that story? This was from years ago where they were interviewing the person who survived a shark attack and they kept asking them how they beat off the shark.
With two hands, no doubt. Shaq survived the shark attack.
This week's shark, I feel like they really sold out this year.
I just saw like the clips of it where he went down in the water and the shark got in there.
They did Shaq. They did
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. They did who else? Gronkowski.
Was Kanye there?
They did Gronk. They did who's the
Gronk? Vanessa, they don't even have to put
Vanessa,
him in water.
Vanessa Vaughn.
Wait, Lindsey Vaughn.
Lindsey Vaughn. Vanessa Vaughn is the teacher from Billy Madison. That Vanessa Vaughn is one fine piece of ace.
Lindsey Vaughn.
Yeah, that's right. Both Vanessa and Lindsey were equally hot. So
that's good
there. All right, now that is 70, episode 72. Penises. TTB 072, penises and hamburgers.
That's good, but I've already, and I obviously it's open for discussion, but I thought Mr. Cocky Nuts was pretty good. But
Mr. Cocky Nuts is pretty good too.
It's a good, and I actually, you said that you didn't prompt him or there was no coaching or anything, and I actually wondered that earlier. If you had that discussion before that, if he had said it and then you decided to record him, or if that was really just like an on the spot, what's his name?
No, when that video that you and our listeners heard the audio of the video right at that moment, that is when I asked him what the chicken's name was for the first time. There was no coaching involved. I took the video and said, Harrison, what's the name of the chicken? Because he always comes up with interesting names for things.
Yeah.
And that was it right there. Mr. Cocky Nuts. Without any type of, I mean, it just rolled right off the tongue there.
My favorite still to this, listening to that, I was cracking up, but in music, a lot of times I like to look for the parts that you don't really hear, kind of like the background stuff. And I'm a big fan of The Cure, and they have a lot of that in their music, where there's the main stuff that you hear, but if you listen to it really closely, you'll hear other stuff in the background that after you hear it, you notice it more and you realize all the layers. And the part in this particular sound was Colin saying to him, just kind of, it's like, oh, Mr. Cocky Nuts. He says, no, his name is Squeeze Me. And he's wearing a little like a little tag around his neck that tells you what to do with him. And it says Squeeze Me, but he figured that was what his name was. So I thought that was cute.
Glad you enjoyed that.
I did. The fun video. So thanks for sending it to me.
Fun.
And now that is 72. We've ended it three times so far.
That's it. We've done it. This is episode 72. We've said everything there is to say for this week. Until next week, when we record episode 73.
That's it. Goodbye.
See ya. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.